My name's Carla Klingner, and I'm the CEO of Palindromes, Inc.
All right, Carla, tell us a little bit about Palindromes and yourself.
So thank you for that opportunity. I'm actually a Missouri native. I grew up on a family diversified farm on the border of Missouri and Iowa in the northern part of the state. So had the agricultural bug put in me at my parents' knees. Ultimately went on to the University of Missouri where I received my agricultural business and law degree both. And that ultimately took me out to Washington, D.C., where I served as Senator Kit Bond's head agricultural liaison for the 2007 Farm Bill and Water Resource Development Act, and then practiced law for a brief period of time as well in Washington, D.C., focusing on agricultural law and policy. And then ultimately wanted to figure out how we could help attract investment into rural communities. And that took me into an immigration investment program known as ED5, where we started working to facilitate investment between primarily China and rural America. But as that program grew in more urban areas in New York and LA, it became more difficult for the rural communities to compete. And so we started then just kind of working on a bigger market connection model, and that ultimately is where Palindromes emerged through years of market intelligence and work in the foreign markets and understanding what buyers were seeking from U.S. goods. So we created that international holding company to start helping farmers more directly connect with their end buyers.
And the reason for the call today, we're talking to you about the event that is scheduled for Thursday in Southeast Missouri for a new soybean processing plant. And we are sad that we can't be there, but happy that you're here to talk to us about that project, what it is, and why you chose that area. So please feel free to tell us about it.
Well, thank you for the opportunity to talk about this exciting event. We've been working on our site selection for about 18 months. We had this vision to how we could actually help facilitate movement of goods and being able to aggregate soybeans in particular and help build an opportunity for a premium and niche market where farmers are paid on metrics of more than just yield to allow them to survive a unpredictable times in the market, like what we're facing right now with the trade issues between the United States and China. And so through that, search and a little bit of background and experience that I had and kind of the vision of what we were looking for in the site, we had three major criteria that we were seeking. One had to be able to serve as adequate flood protection. The second was we were seeking a site that was south of the lock and dam so that we could aggregate from more regions and ideally would be south of where the Ohio, Illinois, and Missouri rivers merged into the Mississippi. We had had our hopes set on a location in southeast Missouri and an option came up and we were contacted and jumped on that opportunity within 24 hours. Of being contacted. The state and the local leaders and executive director of that port has been incredibly great to work with, and so we're excited to be announcing this project opportunity.
All right, and that's the Pemiscot County Port Authority you're referring to?
Correct. We've worked very closely with both leadership from the state of Missouri and leaders locally and with the Pemiscot County Port Authority and their board. And in fact, while we're still planning out the feasibility and tonnage, the port contacted us and presented an opportunity for us to plant some of our high-end genetics that we've been working on through our relationship with the University of Missouri, Missouri Soybean Merchandising Council, and Schillinger Genetics. And we actually have high oleic beans growing on that port site right now. And that specialty healthy oil trait was actually discovered through a joint effort with the USDA and University of Missouri. So we're also excited to be showcasing those soybeans that are growing out on that port site right now while we're planning out the project.
Yes, definitely. High oleic specialty beans providing new markets and new opportunities for soybean growers. In terms of where those are grown, to what extent are they grown in Missouri and in this region of where your processing plant will be located? How much will you get from the farmers in those areas? And I assume you'll contract with them for the plant, or how is that all going to work, and where will you be getting your soybeans from?
Well, thank you. That is a very great series of questions. We have been incredibly blessed because we've had the opportunity to work with a number of regional and well-known seed companies and contract growers who have been so generous with their time getting us quickly into this growing season, because we were late to the table this growing season when the opportunity presented itself. And we were able to get almost 11,000 acres of specialty traits in the ground that feature a combination of the high oleic trait as well as some specialty high protein traits developed by Schillinger Genetics. And we have those multipliers growing right now in southeast Missouri, in Arkansas, in Indiana, and Illinois through some great relationships that we have developed with a number of independent seed companies in those regions, including Stratton Seed and Baird Seed. And actually, the owner of Baird Seed will be attending that event, as well as, I think, some representatives from Stratton Seed. So we're very excited about the fact that we're able to help bring other indirect and induced job creation opportunities to those regional leaders, because our whole platform is focusing on local opportunity and local efforts and growing those local leaders up and helping elevate them into a global marketplace to where they can compete with larger agricultural conglomerates.
I noticed in the press release about the event that it talks about join the discussion of on high oleic production, which you have just talked about. You did mention high protein variety as well, but it also says non-GMO specialty soybeans. Is that something you intend to do in the future?
So we actually, the beans that we have growing right now at the port site is a non-GMO high oleic variety. So the trait that was actually discovered at the University of Missouri was a trait done on natural selection. So that is a non-GMO trait. And so actually all of our beans growing out in the field right now are non-GMO. And we've got some really strong test data about how well they're performing in yield in comparison to its GMO counterpart, as well as how well it's performing in some of the high oleic healthy oil traits, as well as the high protein traits. So we're pretty excited about the test data, as well as a number of seed trials that Dr. John Schillinger has conducted over the years in the aquatics industry, and some feed trials that are going on in the swine industry as it relates to the conversion of feed efficiency. So we're really excited about some of the proven test data that's out there on these specialty beans right now.
Thank you for clearing that up, because I'm aware that there are both non-GMO and GM high oleic beans. Anything else?
That's correct. Yeah. So the beans that we've been focusing on are in the non-GMO category.
Well, and then that would tie in with your diversified project portfolio, which is described as focusing you say, sustainable and socially responsible access to the world's most basic needs. So this project, it sounds like, fits in with those goals that you have stated?
Yeah, so we've spent a lot of time in the international markets. In fact, I resided in China for almost 3 years working with a number of very top-tiered buyers of U.S. agricultural goods, as well as spent a lot of time throughout India, Southeast Asia, and in fact, I'm speaking at a panel in Paris in about 2 weeks. And so what we're excited about is the type of products that we're focusing on gets us into some niche markets, some countries that have some different regulatory standards, allows for some premium dollars to hit the pockets of the farmers, and really kind of listening to what some of those consumers, both domestically and internationally, have been demanding, and figuring out how we can better position our farmers in the U.S. to continue to be a leader in agriculture and in innovation to meet those consumer demands.
So, Carla, where do you see the biggest growth in exports for this product?
Well, we think we're going to have a lot of market opportunity in the export market in China and beyond. We've had a lot of interest from Taiwan, from Japan, and some other parts of the European Union. I also think there's going to be growing need in Colombia, South America, as their demand for meat and swine and aquatics have increased. And so we have a very diversified internal team within Palindromes, and we've been working very heavily in these markets the last several years to build up to this point. So we definitely think one of the greatest strengths that we bring to the market is to be able to position our U.S. farmers well in a diversified and competitive export market.
And since High Oleics have come on the market in terms of their health properties, which you referenced several times, we've been hearing that eventually that oil will become available to consumers in a retail scenario. How close are we to that, and how much of your production do you think will your processed product end up in the domestic market?
Well, thank you. Again, you're asking some really fun questions. So there's not been a lot of strong feasibility to date about what that may or may not be. And so we took a pretty bold and calculated risk. So I've been told by some industry leaders because we took a pretty significant leadership position in taking some of those foundation seeds and getting them in the ground, because from the market intelligence we ran, there is an incredibly strong demand domestically. And as you know, in the midst of a trade war and part of that farm bailout package, there's three prongs. Two of those prongs outside of the farmer direct payment, which is much needed as we have more razor-thin margins for these producers needing to survive this this trade war right now, is the fact that we need to increase our domestic reliance on these goods as well as diversify those export markets. And so, with this facility and with this project, our next steps are going to be planning out the growth feasibility and how much tonnage that we can have. But we have received a lot of feedback from end consumers in the U.S. market for demand, as long as the supply and enough supply can be there to be able to take a look at this high oleic oil. So we've had the opportunity to attend some events with the Missouri Soybean Council featuring high oleic oil. And even at our event, we're going to be cooking kettle corn and high oleic oil. And I can tell you the fish fry I attended was the best fish I have ever eaten. So we're pretty excited about not just the health benefits of this oil, but also the quality and the taste that it brings. We think it could really rival olive oil and canola oil in the marketplace.
How many jobs will be brought in when this facility is open, and what's your target date for it beginning production?
So when we moved forward and made the decision to make the state of Missouri Palindrome home for our corporate headquarters in Columbia, Missouri, we had a combination of Palindromes as well as our seed commercialization and this soy crush facility as part of our submission with the state of Missouri. We projected just a bit shy of 100 jobs between these three efforts, with the majority of those jobs going into the processing facility in southeast Missouri. So we're very excited to call Missouri our home and to have our first couple of significant projects roll out here in my home state. Even though our shareholders are from many new locations, it's pretty exciting to see the fact that as a group we move forward with the state of Missouri, and we think that these jobs, and in addition to the indirect and induced jobs and the opportunities it'll bring to our farmers here in the state and into the United States, that we'll see a nice job multiplier in the state and in this region.
And are we looking at 2019 most likely?
So we will start constructing the storage facilities. The target plan is to start breaking ground on that in the spring, once we have a handle on the amount of tonnage that we think this sort of project will support, as we continue to work with industry leaders and our internal team on the feasibility related to that tonnage. It's our goal to break ground and put storage in for growing season 2019, so we can start aggregating grains from all of the key major agricultural grain production states at that time, because of where the site is located. We will be working with some collaborative partners for toll processing in the 2019 growing season, and a little bit of toll processing even here in the 2018 growing season. Our hope is to be able to start our processing center in 2020, but a lot of that will depend on the timing and the tonnage and the data with the equipment manufacturers and some other things, because we're going to be focusing on a non-hexane process with kind of some specialty things going on in the process, and we're working with some globally leading chemical process engineers, as well as some local state engineers on this effort. And so a lot of that will come down to when they think that we can be open. You know, the CEO is always most aggressive, and I'd love to see that happen in 2020. And we're optimistic. We're looking at sometime in the 2020-2021 growing season, depending on the timing of that equipment. But in the interim, we'll be able to accept grains and be able to toll process and work with producers between now and the time that that facility is open.
All right. And one last question. That the acres that are planted now, are those irrigated?
At the port site, we are irrigating those acres that are at the port site that will be part of our tour tomorrow. However, some of the acres aren't irrigated. I grew up in Putnam County, Missouri, so we're in the heart of the drought of the state, and it's quite a whole separate issue from the trade and everything else going on is quite challenging in my home community and where my family farms. Where we actually had selected the acres based on the maturity groups that we were growing out at this stage, we've been pretty fortunate that our beans are looking pretty good at this stage in the growth cycle.
All right. Well, I'm certainly sorry to hear about your families, but a lot of folks are in the same boat in Missouri. It's like we were the kind of the bullseye of all the states. Well, thank you for your time. You've been very generous. Anything else you'd like to add that I didn't ask, Carla?
No, just thank you for the opportunity to take the time and get us on the phone today and listen to what the event is about. I know you have a full week going on with the Farm Progress Show, and we actually even have part of our team with a booth with the Missouri Soybean Merchandising Council over at the Midwest Shippers Conference this week as well, and we'll be helping sponsor the event the following day in South Missouri at the Delta Research Center. So it's a busy week for trade shows and farm shows this week. So I thank you for taking the time to speak with us today.